Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company.
Back here in the sun. This will be the spot for Mania Under the Sun. Stadium Swim, Circle Las Vegas. Let's get right into it. Adam Hill is here. Vanessa's helping with the setup. Griffin's back in the Findlay Toyota Studios. Big day around town. You can certainly come out here, watch Four Nations. There's no better screen in town, outside and inside. 78 million pixels inside, 143-foot screen outside here at Stadium Swim. And I do have to send out the pictures from social media. I always love the humble brag, the chest puff out, when I can take a picture of the pool here in February with bright sun in the background and send it to everyone else who does radio around the country and go, yeah, Circa Las Vegas, it's 70 degrees. By the way, it's so sunny. I was trying to shoot a video earlier. I'm like, this is glaring, whatever the word is. I gotta move positions.
It's bright.
High-tech stuff when I do the videos.
Also, spring training getting started. We got baseball on the big screen right now, getting ready for hockey, as you said. And I knew I'd be outside today. I was like, all right, well, be a nice little crowd. It's popping, actually.
Yeah, both pools upstairs here are very crowded at Stadium Swim. There's still plenty of room to come on down and watch Four Nations. We're going to hit on Four Nations throughout the show. Hockey finals, NHL All-Star break here with USA and Canada. Woo! Is that what I'm supposed to do? By the way, I'll make the request now because I didn't send a reminder. We are doing Lee Greenwood at least twice this show. That's one of my favorite developments in the history of music is Lee Greenwood selling out for Canada. So he can go there. He can go move to the 51st state. Jerk.
Actually, can I
can you make a request?
No, I should have done this earlier. Can I send a clip to Griffin?
Absolutely. He can. We have all capabilities in that studio now. He'll just have to walk out for 45 minutes, go load it in the back, and we'll be good to go.
I was a lot of people I know actually are cheering for Canada in this game for some reason.
Really? Scumbags.
Yeah. I think it's actually because their favorite players are Canadian. I think that's more important to some people than...
Yeah, there really hadn't been hatred between the squad, like really, really true hatred between the squads until someone and some people interjected their opinion on this whole thing.
Even for people here, there's like split allegiances for Golden Knights that are several in Canada. You know, a couple on USA, obviously, as well, but... I hate
Mark Stone.
People are more into
who
their allegiances are as NHL players than they are for their country, I think. And there was some people that introduced me last night to a O Canada rap.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of old.
Request?
It's pretty good.
Request line. We'll send it.
Oh, Canada. Oh, Canada. It's good.
I know you love that national anthem.
It's solid. Oh, it's a great anthem, but the rap's pretty good, too.
I think the Filipino national anthem is the best around, but... And Nikolai Volkov's version of the Russian national anthem.
Sure.
Second best, in O Canada.
Borat's version of the Kazakh anthem, too.
Was that a real anthem?
It was not.
Or was that also Nikolai Volkov style?
Made it up off the cuff.
So we got Four Nations coming up. I want to remind people, today's a big day around town, because if you're not coming out here, you can go on the south side of town, 6965 South Rainbow. Papa John's, that is the Max Crosby Papa John's that's just opening up. And Q Myers is live right now with Raider Nation Radio until 5 o'clock. Max from the Raiders is going to be out there in the second half of the show. Meet, greet, kiss babies, sign pictures. So cool opportunity to meet one of the megastars of the NFL, Papa John's, 6965 South Rainbow. If J.J. Watt were making an appearance in town, I probably wouldn't hoof it over there. But, he has opinions.
Certainly would.
He's one of the best commercial athletes, I think, ever. Athletes in commercials. Peyton Manning is up there. Baker Mayfield was awesome. And I've said multiple times, J.J. Watt is better at acting in those commercials than he is actually at giving football analysis. Seriously.
Sure.
I don't think I've ever seen that before where a guy is an absolute natural in front of the camera, except for when he has to do his job as a sports analyst.
Well, he was only playing for the cameras, throughout his entire career.
Yes. He got a lot of practice.
He's the kind of guy, if there was no camera, he would have never played well.
Okay, good point. He said it's just how incredible how much of a home run Four Nations has been for the NHL and hockey in general. Friends who never watched a hockey game in their lives reaching out, asking what the plan is for tonight's game, what food we're ordering, etc. Definition of growing the game. Someone else said, I'm just afraid that the ratings across the league won't be affected by the interest in Four Nations and that people are only watching because of the political tension between the U.S. and Canada. Ding, ding. I think it will help grow the sport. But we've been through this before. How many events in the past, like, this is going to be the thing that helps grow the sport? How many World Cups did the Women's World Cup team win, and they still don't have a pro soccer league that is truly profitable, where they're making good money? These things happen over generations.
Yeah, but I think to the point of that second part of, you know, this is only popular because of the tensions. Like, I don't think people here understand that there's tensions. I don't. Like, you see when the Canadian fans are booing the anthem, people are, whoa, what? Like, they don't, I don't think they pay attention to what's going on day to day. Like, they don't understand why there's tensions right now.
Why is Governor Trudeau getting all pissed off?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
The high-level trolling that has been done has really irked them.
I don't think it's trolling, but yeah.
Well, I think his
high-level threats.
Troll a lot of times is about your timing. His timing, DJT's timing, is impeccable. The Canadians are very much into this. It's a shame the game isn't in Canada. That would be freaking dynamite. You're hearing players say this is the biggest game of their lives?
Players who have played in Stanley Cup Finals?
Stop.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, that hypes it up. That certainly hypes it up.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they're feeling it. They're feeling the importance and the, you know, to that point, like, players that are in the game, I think, understand the tension that's going on between the countries. I'm sure they're hearing it while they're, you know, the American players were playing in Canada. They, I'm sure, heard it wherever they went. Here, it's just part of the noise of many, many things that are going on. But there, I'm sure they heard it everywhere. And they heard, like, why is everybody so mad? I'm sure they were asking questions. Why are the fans so mad at us?
Who are the Canadian Golden Knights on the roster?
Well, Shea is not playing.
Right.
Stone. Aiden Hill is there. Trying to think. Oh, no. Petrangelo didn't play. So, yeah. I think that's it.
Just going to carry on into the regular season?
No.
So, like, Stone and Aiden Hill aren't going to take a knee during the anthem?
I don't think so.
I would love that.
If we actually do what we're saying, they might. I would imagine, I would expect them to. I would hope they would.
Is there a chance this could actually be? I follow Jay Onrate, who used to do SportsCenter here. He's the big Canadian SportsCenter guy who went at it with JTTB the other day. JT the Brick was saying anyone who boos the anthem is a scumbag. And Jay Onrate's like, your president said we're not a country.
Right.
Like, what do you want us to do?
I do want to stop just and say, like, for people that are like, what's the big deal? Or somebody like that who said, why would you boo? Like, do you understand? What would we do tomorrow if, I guess we already have tensions with some, if it was the other way around, if Canada said, you know what, we are going to invade the U.S. and take over the country. That's what's going to happen. That's what my plan is.
Well, we're very insular. You know that.
Right.
We care about what we care about.
Do you think we would just be expected to still respect and honor, like, the traditions of Canada after that? That's preposterous. That's a preposterous statement to make.
Jay said, or was asking, will Canada-USA be another tight-checking defensive battle?
I think it could be, unless there's early goals that kind of open it up. But I think early on, yes, I think that's what you're going to see.
So expectation is the third period could be like a nip-and-tuck 2-1 game and everyone on the edge of their seat freaking out.
Oh,
one nothing game.
Yeah, oh. If it's tied or a one-goal game, it could be total chaos out there. I think that's what everybody's hoping for.
Will Boston come through? Because they didn't the other day. Well, no, weren't they watching Canada-Finland in Boston? I think that's the case. Will they come through today and boo the hell out of the Canadian anthem?
They shouldn't.
Who's doing it? Did they bring in a Canadian to do it, or is it that they have another one of these, like, barrel-chested, you know, big boys guys in Boston doing it? So.
I don't know.
He's very good. Yeah. He's better than me, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be anticipated, and you know, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, it would be ignorant to boo them. They didn't do anything to us.
You got to boo them.
I don't know why.
It's the spirit of the game.
I guess that's fine. I got to look. Does
Reno really hasn't done anything to me, but I really enjoy that rivalry. And
who hasn't?
I'm in the media. Reno. Reno hasn't done anything to me. I've had wonderful times in Reno, but you're kind of, you know.
You boo their school fight song?
I might.
Okay. That's weird. It's a weird thing to do.
There's a lot of songs that I walk out on.
Me too.
But I won't get into my personal feelings on it because it might offend some. But, I mean, I guess I should say it. I don't care if it offends you. I have my feelings about it. All right, so we're going to get you set up for that. That's a 5 o'clock puck drop. So the lead up to the game is going to be awesome. We'll see. This is another one of those events. I think not playing the national anthem on TV is probably the way to go because someone's going to get pissed off or worked up. People didn't like John Batiste, his national anthem.
Sure.
You know, saying, hey, sing it the right way. Like, sing it like Chris Singleton. Wait, what?
ridiculous.
It's just thing that's been weaponized, so it's pretty crazy. But the game is on the way. A lot of heat around it. Donald Trump will not be there. He actually has to. He's got some meetings that he's got to attend today and tomorrow. We got tennis coming to town. World number one men's and women's tennis players are going to be at the MGM coming up March 1st and 2nd. Sabalenka and Osaka are facing off on Saturday, March 1st. Sinner, along with guys like Taylor Fritz and Tommy Paul, going to be playing on March 2nd. Two tickets right now, 364-1100, caller 7-364-1100. You can grab your own tickets at AXS.com. It is the MGM Reward Slam at the MOA Mick Ultra Arena. Come on, tennis in Vegas? How awesome is that? And you got the best of the best.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
All right, let's get into the Mountain West Conference Tournament coming up March 9th to the 15th. We're hanging at Circa Las Vegas at the pool. You going to go in? It's our first show under the sun.
Yeah, I might do that.
A little cannonball.
Watch the game in there. Sure. Sitting there, watch the game.
Come on down here. Great spot to watch the USA-Canada hockey game tonight. So on the basketball front, it's been a pretty crazy year in the Mountain West Conference, and the leader of the pack is New Mexico, and Richard Pitino gives Steve and Adam a couple of minutes here in Vegas. How are you, Coach?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to start off beat here. I did not have a chance to go back and look at your background. When your father was bouncing around to different jobs, where you grew up, say, high school years, where?
Boston. He was the head coach of the Celtics at the time.
There you go. So you know hockey. Did you become a hockey fan?
You know, it's funny. Actually, I became a – I don't know if I'm a hockey guy by any means, but a lot of my friends when I was the head coach of Minnesota were NHL players, former NHL players. So the town that I lived in was big with those guys living there, youth hockey. A lot of my friends – or my kids' friends were NHL guys, so got a lot of respect for what they do.
Did you ever try it? You ever try playing?
No, God, no. I can hardly skate. I can hardly, no, none of that. But, you know, it was big. Like, they would freeze all the tennis courts and ponds and things like that in the town that we lived in. So it was pretty cool.
There you go. You got any thoughts on what's been brewing here? Rivalry, Canada and U.S., and the Canadians are booing our national anthem. There's a lot of heat. I mean, maybe not for the right reasons the rivalry's heated up here, but rivalry spots are always good in sports.
I texted one of my buddies who's an NHL guy, and I wasn't really sure what exactly the games were because, you know, they're on the All-Star break, right? So I'm assuming I don't know what the significance of the games are, but I saw the fight on Twitter and all that, but I'm pretty confused as to what the games really mean.
Yeah, they're trying to spice up All-Star games, so instead of an All-Star game, they do like a, hey, let's just go nation to nation and go at it, you know, once every couple of years. It seems like a good idea. I don't know how we're going to fix All-Star games in other sports, but this seems to work in hockey.
Yeah, I think it's a great concept. I mean, certainly, hockey culture is amazing. They're the nicest guys in the world, and they're the toughest, meanest guys when they play. They've got so much pride. I love just the culture of the whole sport. I think every sport can learn a lot from hockey.
Mountain West Conference Tournament is coming up March 9th to the 15th right here in Las Vegas, Thomas and Mack. There's discounts on multiple sessions. You want information on it, get your tickets at themw.com/2025. And Lobos coach Richard Pitino is with us. So, you know, we talk about rivalries around the league. What was the environment like last night at Extra Mile? And we'll get into the game, but what was the environment like in Boise?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, I think you think about environments in the Mountain West. I think the Pit, I think the Spectrum, and Viejas probably have separated themselves consistently as the top venues. But then Boise's right there. Leon's done a really, really good job of building a consistent program. I would say there's definitely a football kind of first because of Boise State mentality there. But I think Leon's really worked his butt off to create, a program that's about basketball, too. And so they had over 11,000, tough environment. Their team is really, really good. They've got talented guys, tough guys. And it just had the feel of a game. I think we certainly competed, but you could tell Boise needed it to kind of dive back into that NCAA picture best they could, because in our league, as we know, there's only so many opportunities, those quad one, quad two opportunities, and you got to take advantage of them.
Talk about the early part of the second half, because you were close at the half, and then they kind of did a run out there to begin the second half.
You know, a lot of it was free throw line. You know, they were calling it tight on their end. I'm not saying we weren't fouling by any means, but it just seemed like every time if we missed a shot, we were sending them to free throw line, and they did a really, really good job of knocking down free throws. So it's hard on the road when you're swimming upstream with foul trouble and giving them free points, and that's how they were able to pull away. We came back and cut it to 8 a couple times, but it was really, really hard for us to get into a rhythm defensively because we were sending the free throw line almost every possession.
Did you have the kid Peanut Carmichael high in the scout?
You know, we had him on the scout. I mean, he just, you know, he's a good player, young, obviously, but made some big shots, timely shots. He's got size and skill, and, you know, I think for all of us, that's what we're looking for.
It's funny, when I was there with UNLV for the Rebels road game there, they were taking the red shirt off him that night, and there were a lot of media people and some fans were like, what are they doing? Why are they wasting him? I'm like, well, I think he's pretty good, and they need a little infusion of three-point shooting. So obviously he's come around. He's matured, and he had a really big game in that one. Degenhardt had a big game. Tell people – I mean, I think people in Vegas know who Tyson Degenhardt is. He's tortured the run Rebels here for a long time. But why is he so good? Why is a guy who maybe was a little bit under-recruited, you know, at 6'7 or 6'8 and 240, why is he so good?
Well, he stayed the course at Boise. That's the biggest key. Much like maybe Donovan Dent, you know, for us, or Deedon Thomas, obviously, over there at UNLV. Like, guys that stay the course are pretty rare in today's world. You know, and that just is what it is. I'm not criticizing. So he just got a little bit better and better every single year. He could score from three. You know, he's not always on, like, the low post, so it's not always simple to trap him. You almost got to trap him on the move, and that's where, you know, we sent him to the line, I think, 12, 13 times last night, and he's going to knock him down. Very, very good finisher around the rim, plays very good in the pocket, you know, off of ball screens and dives. So I don't think he has a whole lot of weaknesses, and, you know, he's just a tough, tough kid who competes every possession.
Coach, for your team, when was it that you knew that you were going to have a really good team this year? Was it, you know, back in the summer? Was it when you first started practicing? Is it a little into the season? Like, at what point were you like, this team can play?
Well, you know, I wasn't really sure because, honestly, we planned for JT Toppin to be back, and JT had put his name in the NBA draft, but we were told that he was going to come back, and, you know, at the last 11th hour, puts his name in the portal and transfers to Texas Tech. I'm not being critical of him. I mean, you know, he certainly benefited his future in a big way, but it's hard, and everybody's dealing with this, right? So it was just hard. So I didn't know at the power forward spot. I felt really, really good, obviously, about point guard with Donovan Dent. I felt really good about Nelly Jr. Joseph coming back. Mustafa Amziel, who unfortunately has been hurt, didn't play last night. That certainly has affected us. So, and True Washington. So we were able to retain four key pieces off an NCAA tournament team. I liked the guys we brought in. I just didn't know a whole lot about them because they're all transfers. So we got a couple of key wins early, whether it was UCLA, USC, VCU. We dropped, obviously, a tough one at home in a rivalry game versus New Mexico State. But then we just went on a run in conference and won 11 in a row. I think we've won 15 of 17 right now. You know, so I'm proud of it because we lost JT. We had a kid signed for a day, and all of a sudden now he's killing it at Wisconsin. You know, and we were able to kind of weather the storm. But that's going to be the new norm, unfortunately, and we're just going to have to deal with it.
You talk about that, and, you know, it's not a critique. It's just the reality of the situation. Like, you kind of – you're in flux all the time, really, as a coach. How much of a challenge has it been? And, like, is it a learning process every year as a coach to just see, like, where it's going to be and how you can kind of bring a team along not knowing exactly what the pieces are going to be until the season starts?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because no media member, no fan ever wants to hear a coach complain. But we're the ones with the microphones being thrown in front of us all the time, and we're trying to give our true you know, opinion of the situation. Right now, it is as challenging as it's ever been to be a coach. Not necessarily in practice, not even necessarily in the games, but it is very hard to build stability. I am very, very proud of the fact that 2 years ago we went to the NIT, we won 22 games. Last year we won 26. We're at 22 right now. Like, that is really, really challenging just because the rules are set up against us all. But fans don't care. Media doesn't care. Administrations don't care. They just want you to win. You know, so I think we're all trying to do our very, very best to figure it out. You cannot now ever win at the level we're all trying to win at without support, whether that's NIL, rev share moving forward. Like, you just won't win. I mean, it's just the reality of it. So the future is very, very gray for all of us. You know, I think coaches are all talking. And I empathize with the administrators. Like, they're trying to figure it out, too. Like, I don't think anybody's trying to screw anybody over, but it's very, very simple now. You know, if you want to win, you need to invest. And so we're all trying to kind of figure out what that's going to look like moving forward.
Richard Pitino, coach of first place in the Mountain West, New Mexico. Are you as amazed as we all are about what's going on at St. John's with this new guy they have on the sidelines?
No, not really. I mean, I think like we just talked about, they've got a great investment. You know, they came at a time where they've got some key supporters who are really, really supporting the program. He's gotten the garden back to where it's a true home court. You know, I mean, that kind of had gotten away from it a little bit. So he's got those two things. And then he retained, you know, some guys off the team last year, whether it be RJ Lewis, who's probably their best player. Zubi Echefor is a terrific big guy as well. So, you know, he went to St. John's, I really believe, at the right time. Because, you know, it's essentially a pro job. It's always kind of been that way. And now with the support that he is getting to go along with superb coaching, it's kind of a match made in heaven. So, no, I'm not surprised that he's having great success right now.
We had Brian Dutcher on San Diego State about 10 days ago. He said, you guys are the best team. They're just so physical on both ends of the floor. Who do you think is the best team in the conference?
Oh, well, I don't feel that way right now after the way we played in the second half of Boise. But, you know, I mean, I think for us, you hate to make excuses, but we are losing a fifth-year starting power forward in Mustafa Amziel. So, like, I felt like when we had him, certainly we were experienced. We had key guys back from a good team. But I think any of the, you know, these teams can beat anybody on any given night. Certainly we went on a great run of 8 in a row and sitting obviously at 14-2. But anybody can beat anybody. I mean, I think Boise, you know, you got Dagenhart and you got Cardenas. I mean, that's about as good of a 1-2 punch as you get. They're big, they're strong, they're physical. We've obviously got Donovan Dent and Ellie Jr. Joseph, two terrific players. I think San Diego State's always got that culture. They've got length. They've got some really good players as well. Colorado State, Utah State, who I forgot about. I mean, they're maybe the toughest place to play in the league, if not the country. Falstaff's really good. Martinez is really good. You know, so we're all duking it out, and you're going to have to just find a way to win some close games and take care of home court.
You talked about the fact that there is, you know, there's not a ton of, say, quad one opportunities, not the elite teams outside of, you know, basically you guys right now that you see usually in this league. But is there an understanding, do you think, around the country when you talk to people around basketball, you talk to other coaches, of just how unique this league is in terms of the travel, the environments, and even if it, on paper it doesn't look like the hardest game, it's pretty much a hard game every single night.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they quite understand. You know, I have a family that's all based out of the East Coast, and you know, we play a lot of late games where everybody's asleep, right? So I think the Mountain West, I'm very, very obviously disappointed that it's breaking up. You know, it's breaking up to create an average football conference. I don't really know why they had to do that, but, you know, football obviously drives the bus. But it's disappointing. I mean, since I've been in the league, it's been year one was four teams in the tournament. Year two was four teams. Last year, obviously, was year six. I think we realistically could get three, who knows, maybe four in the tournament this year. So it's a phenomenal basketball conference. There's unique venues. Obviously, the Pitt is terrific. Utah State's phenomenal. San Diego State. You know, so there's so many cool things. We had an opportunity to kind of own the West, and for whatever the reason was, out of my control, obviously, we weren't able to do that because I thought we were building kind of a Big East version in the West. Obviously, we have football, but it is what it is, ever-changing, but there are certainly, and you look at UNLV, obviously, the landscape in that community has changed as pertains to attending the games, but they've got high aspirations and, you know, an unbelievable tradition as well.
Coach, we appreciate a couple minutes. We'll see you here in Vegas for the tournament.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
There he is. Richard Pitino, head coach of New Mexico. He's taking them to the top of the league. He has a lot of support there. Does he have as much support as you could get at a Power 4 spot? That's the question. Because a couple things here. They've gotten out of the gates with this great start. They're only a 9 seed in the brackets. That's a little disappointing because they played a pretty good non-con. But support from a money standpoint, NIL, the crowds are back. I would expect at least 5,000 New Mexico fans to come here, if not 7 or 8. I don't know if it can reach the heyday of like 2015 when Alford was there, even earlier, where they'd haul like 8,000 people up here. And they are the loudest fans in the conference because, well, I'm going to correct this. But even before I say it, they are the loudest fans with the officials. Utah State has actually usurped them. Yeah. Utah State fans are out of control with the officials. All they do is piss and moan.
Sure.
But New Mexico fans are really loud. Got a good team. I mean, one, they kept Donovan Dent around. If they had Toppin, because he's killing it at Texas Tech. Yeah. But Texas Tech offered over like $1.25 million. So there's only so much of a budget at Mountain West Conference schools. Now here's the other question. With Richard Pitino, there's good jobs that are going to be open, and they're actually in a region where he kind of started his coaching career. There's two jobs in the state of Florida. But are they worth leaving? New Mexico, is Florida State worth leaving for, and is Miami?
I mean, I
would think Miami would have – I would think both schools actually have really healthy NIL. But I don't know what the hell happened with Leonard Hamilton and money's promised and kids claiming they didn't get their money. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're in a Power 2 world now.
Yeah. I don't even know how to read it with basketball when we just had this football thing. I couldn't even get through the story. I was getting so annoyed that the SEC and Big Ten are meeting about how to reorganize the college football playoff. I'm like, I don't even want to be part of this. Well, I have to.
Well, and if,
I'm a Big Ten guy. I grew up with the Big Ten.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if
but it's annoying
if that does happen. It's also happening in basketball. So
yep. So he sees the handwriting, and he just said it. Like, I'm sure he's very annoyed that I believe New Mexico is very disrespected in this whole conference realignment thing. I like what they have. I like their facilities. I like that town. I think they have good support. Football hasn't bounced back completely.
That's all that matters.
But they were they were solid under Rocky Long. They just haven't bounced back. They got kind of screwed by Bronco Mendenhall because he had a nice year, and it's like, hey, we're going in the right direction, and he leaves for a while places, Logan, Utah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's got to be looking at it like he gotta, I like the little shot there. He's like, to set up an average football conference, the Pac-2.
Sure.
The five.
He sees it.
Yeah. The disloyal five.
Yeah, and I think, it would sound to me like completely putting words in his mouth, but I would say he has to be gone by 2026.
I thought when they got him, it was a great get. I didn't think he did a terrible job in Minnesota. As you know, the Big Ten is really tough. It's gotten even tougher. By the way, I was pleased last night watching, right? I get to watch a little Rutgers basketball because they're in the Big Ten, and now you've added Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA. So they were, Rutgers was playing in Seattle against Washington. I'm like, all right, good. A little later at night, and it did go to overtime. Yeah. I actually did not know that the Big Ten is so friggin' big now that the bottom three teams in basketball get lopped off and
don't go to the tournament,
which sucks. Yeah. But remember,
can't relate. We're gonna win it. We're gonna win it to this year.
The return to goodness, I won't say greatness. The return to this level in 1 year by Dusty May is amazing.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if you could keep him when Indiana offers him $14 million a year. And he was he the manager for Indiana?
Yeah, they'll keep him. It's fine.
I think they will too. At a big salary. But I was just going to make the point, a Mountain West Conference point. Danny Sprinkle now, Utah State, coaches at Washington. He took Great Osabor with him. And I was watching the game. Actually, I was watching a replay of the game. And I fast-forwarded them, and they're like, you see a foul with Great Osabor, the big man who was at Utah State. Fourth foul. I'm like, what? He has four fouls? They call fouls on Great Osabor in that conference? Oh.
Well, he actually fouls in that conference because he's not physically superior to everybody, I think is the difference.
He fouled a lot. He's just he's a gigantic guy. He got caught in a lot of high-pick switches, and he kept reaching. So that it was like anytime you touched the kid Dylan Harper, you were going to get a foul.
Yeah.
But he's still good. He's still a good player there. But anyway, so Washington playing late night. It's just you get reminded of how ridiculous the Big Ten is for basketball.
Yeah.
From a stretching the country standpoint, and the teams that aren't good are not terrible. Like Iowa, Rutgers, Washington, they're all sitting with like 4, 5, 6, 7 wins, and they're not awful. But the conference is so friggin' big. Yeah.
I would say the caveat to Patino has to be out of here by 2026. Like the league is going to be bad at that point, unless. There's a big caveat, obviously, if the merger does eventually happen, they could, if they do keep Gonzaga around and Grand Canyon is still part of it, like, it could be a pretty elite basketball conference.
Could be super. So you know, hold that thought, because I got to build on this, because we got news today, officially, that UNLV is out of the Maui Invitational, so we'll get into that, and also some more of the whispers behind the scenes with the Ray Lyman stuff and what's going on with Teresa Gould and Glow Navarez, because this is so very much up in the air. Rumors every freaking day about these conferences.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
So, good conversation we just had with Richard Pitino, coach of the first place New Mexico Lobos. Could be the number one seed in the Mountain West Conference Tournament. Might not. A lot of basketball left to be played. And a lot of matchups between the top five teams. New Mexico, Utah State, Boise State, San Diego State, and Colorado State. Colorado State coming up in Vegas on Saturday at the Thomas and Mack. We'll examine that game with Curtis Terry. Curtis will be sitting in the whole 5 o'clock hour. We'll also talk to Lady Rebels coach Lindy LaRock at around 5:30, 5:25. So Adam and I were just talking here at Circa about college basketball, realignment, changes that coaches got to be looking at. You know, Pitino just said disappointed that the Mountain West Conference is splitting up. I'm sure very much disappointed that the Pac-2 plus the Disloyal 5 didn't have an invite for New Mexico. Didn't initially have an invite for UNLV. Hasn't had an invite for Nevada. And this whole thing is still very much up in the air because apparently the Pac-2 plus the Disloyal 5 are going to try to cut a TV deal without having final numbers on the football side. So we'll see what kind of deal it can come up with, what kind of money is on the table from TV networks.
Well, they don't want a TV deal.
I know they want multi-platform deal.
No, they want a partner who's willing to invest in the growth of the conference.
Is that the way it's put?
Yeah.
When are you going to write about this?
I've written about it a couple times. I wrote that it's time for the Pac-12 to give up.
Say it again?
I wrote that it was time for the Pac-12 to give up, and
yeah.
A lot of Pac-12 people were not happy.
Do you get calls from the Pac-2, or do you get calls from the Mountain West?
The fans. And, from certainly you hear from both leagues. Some saying you're wrong, some saying you're right, obviously. You definitely hear when you write about this topic, it fires people up for sure.
News today, was it officially announced? I'm not sure, but Mike Romalo wrote about UNLV being out, basketball out of the 2025 Maui Invitational. So next season.
It's unfortunate for you.
I'm going to sound like a spoiled jackass on this one. I didn't love Maui when I went there.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm an anti-Hawaii guy.
I've found a rhythm in Honolulu with a lot of the local places.
Sure.
And I discover more and more. I don't want to crap on Maui because since I was there, it got freaking destroyed. So I don't even know what it's like now. But
it wasn't the last time UNLV played Maui. Weren't they in North Carolina?
Yeah. Yep. COVID ruined it, and they had to go. I didn't go on that trip. They went to Asheville.
Asheville, North Carolina. By the way, I was supposed to be on that trip and got COVID.
I didn't. I don't really have any thoughts on the Maui thing because it's been known kind of in the circles that they weren't going and they're working on some other stuff. But I don't know what what's going to turn out here. I don't think it's going to be just another MTE like the one they played in.
I was hoping it was the Cancun Invitational. There's no tournament I've wanted to go to more than that.
I'm very intrigued by those Caribbean tournaments. Some of them with the ceiling that looks like it's like 16 feet high.
Yeah, the Cancun one plays in a ballroom at the I think it's at the Hard Rock.
There's no half court shots and there's no like Marshall Henderson threes.
No, I really
high arc guy.
I really want to go to that tournament at some point. It sucks because it's like during the football season, so I really can't go. But I do want to go.
I think Rebel fans, from what I hear, I think Rebel fans will be really, really, really pleased why they passed on the Maui. But I don't know if that's going to come to fruition. You know, this season has to end first, and then we find out what the future looks like.
Sure.
So what's your gut feeling on football runs the whole thing? So we don't even need to kind of talk about basketball because it's gonna whatever happens. Basketball is going to be affected by football. So what's going to happen here? The Pac-2 reps or the people who feed guys like John Canzano, their goal is something by mid-March. I mean, we're here.
That's not happening. I mean, at some point, they're still, you know, kind of.
So you don't believe them. You think they will have to have an answer on what the conference looks like in full before they can really cut a TV deal.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. And I also don't think they're anywhere close to cutting a deal, especially one that they kind of promised anyway. So I think they'll, you know, continue to put it off and, you know, try to figure it out. And hey, we're still talking. The announcement will be there are so many people interested in doing this that we're still sorting through all the offers.
Well, I think they are talking to everyone, but that doesn't mean that everyone is going to offer them any significant money. You're right. You might have CBS, Fox, Netflix, Amazon in like a four-tier package, but it may also cobble together $9 million a school, which when school
maybe less.
Maybe less, no.
Which is not what they were promised to go.
The schools that the Disloyal Five that chose to go, they were promised what? What do you think? 15, 20, 18 per school?
I thought it was like maybe 12, but
okay.
But still, that's also, you know, a lot will have to do with the lawsuits too, because if they are going to say, even if they got to 12, but you also have to pay off the actual lawsuit. I'm sure they were promised, hey, this is exit fees, they're not enforceable. So you're not going to pay. You're not going to have to pay that. You know, poaching fees, we're not going to have to pay that. It's not enforceable. We're fine. So it would be only getting, you know, $12 million or less, potentially, in addition to all the money you're going to shell out for these, you know, for the fees and the legal fees that have already been accumulating massively. In this case.
And you think, like the news came out last week from a content creator that the Mountain West Conference schools, including UNLV, had signed a grant of rights through 2031. I saw one of the local stations, NBC, they have a sports staff, right? Yeah. They reported like that it runs through 2031, but what they didn't mention in the story is that it doesn't go into effect until July 1st of 2026. So it didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And people, and on social media, it's like people start freaking out, like, terrible move, why'd they sign this?
Yeah.
It doesn't go into effect.
Well, also, I think,
for over a year.
I also think so if the lawsuits don't pan out and the money isn't paid, then I don't think it also wouldn't be in effect because then the Mountain West isn't fulfilling their side.
Could we bet, I think we can come up with simple parameters here. The exit fees are paid by the five schools. And we can do the number at $18 million per school.
I don't think
they'll pay the poaching fees. I think exit fees will be paid.
No, I don't think anything will be paid because I don't.
Okay,
think
we got
to bet. It's going to be a real conference.
Oh, you think it's going to? Well, then I guess I'm taking the wrong side of the bet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you'll think they'll come to an agreement. All fees will go bye-bye, and it'll merge.
I would think so. I think that's the most logical.
Should have taken the bet.
Thing, but I also think there's no way. Anything's going to be paid in full. Everything will be negotiated if things are paid off. Like that's how it will happen. But the Mountain West can't allow that to happen. Like they can't. You can't get into a place where there's no poaching fees paid, because then you go back and say you created this, by putting together a deal that had poaching. The whole conference line now.
They're double dipping.
The party line right now is, did you make a mistake by allowing the Pac-12 schools to exist in your league with the scheduling agreement? And the answer is absolutely not. We did that to make them pay poaching fees if they took some of our teams. If we didn't do that, they could have just taken the teams without the poaching fees. We basically suckered them in.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Four Nations coming up. You can watch it here at Circa Las Vegas, Stadium Swim, or Circa Sports. We're next to the pool. It's sunny. It's going to be a beautiful night tonight. 143-foot screen out here to watch USA and Canada. Boo! Adam Hill is here. It's Cofield. I've got two rooms set up with TVs. I will have to go to the alternate room to watch Four Nations. Because as soon as I walk in, I think there will be a demand to finish up the latest season of a long-running series that we got into last night. I texted you. I got no response. I didn't want to ruin anything.
Yeah, I'm trying not to finish it.
Okay.
Why? I hate finishing shows because then they're over.
Okay.
So when there's like a last season, I'll always save it for a long time.
Okay. Well, that doesn't help our purpose on the air. But sure. Not that anyone's dying to talk about
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai. But I will tell you, I think this season, like a lot of seasons, series at the end, the last season, people are like, oh.
Yeah, it fell off.
I think this is, there's stuff they're doing I did not expect.
Sure.
Did you hear about, I don't want to spoil it, did you hear about a cameo? There's a cameo in it, and it's actually, it's more for you than me, but I was like very thrilled that this person made a cameo from a show that was well after Karate Kid, because Karate Kid came out in 84. That's what Cobra Kai is based on. And they brought almost everyone back.
Yeah.
I will spoil it. To this point, there's been no Liz Hsu,
sure,
who I think should make one final appearance.
She should.
But you have any guess? Do you know the cameo? I won't even, you know, if you don't know it.
There should be a Hilary Swank also.
There.
Willow Smith?
If I mention a show that the person comes from, will it ruin it for you?
No. I would assume it would be, if you're saying it's for me, it would have to be like a Saved by the Bell or a Boy Meets World or something along those lines.
First one.
Sure.
But I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Well, I know like Mario Lopez actually has trained a lot. It'd be interesting. I don't know. Maybe a Zach. We'll see.
We'll leave it at that. Right. But it's tremendous.
Good.
It's tremendous. Too much good TV right now. My experiment of, well, I still have it, so it's not really an experiment, but I told you last week when YouTube TV started jerking around with Paramount, I'm like, that's it. I've never done this before. Now I'm like really cutting the cord.
And they literally signed a deal the next day?
Yep. Too bad. They screwed with me. Not doing it. Now, will I take the knee right before football? Possibly.
Probably.
I don't know. I didn't feel like I got my money's worth. Well, I definitely didn't. Well, one, I didn't want to watch the Jets whole season. But you know, you quickly realize with a team like the Jets, and it's not going to be the case this year, but like half their games were on primetime TV. It wasn't half. It was like six or seven.
Not
like,
next year.
Probably not next year. No. But I don't think I want to watch them anyway. I'm really unhappy with the Jets. I know there's lots of reasons, but that really pissed me off. That kicking Rodgers out the door, like he begged. And then, you know, I was reading up on Chris Cluey, which is a story we'll get to tomorrow. He got arrested, the former player, got arrested in Huntington Beach. And his ties back to Rick Spielman. Rick Spielman's part of the Jets organization. I don't like it.